I feel this evening as unworthy as I could possibly be. I count it a great privilege and be able to even come and sit together with you in heavenly places here at the Little River Association. I didn't think I was going to get to attend your meeting this year. I already promised myself out for tomorrow, and as the week went along, the more it seemed to be something inside of me, you can go on Friday night if you'll make effort. And then my natural man would say, yeah, and you'll have to fight Atlanta traffic. How long will it take to get there on Friday evening? I told the wife about it on Wednesday evening. She said, well, whatever you think's best. Then my mother calls and she says, your father and I is going to come and pick up Audrey from school. See, they just started school this week. We're going to come and pick Audrey if she's in kindergarten. We're going to come pick Audrey up from school on Friday afternoon. Will that be okay? I said, that'll be fine. She said, what time do we need to be there? I said, 2 o'clock, so I can take the wife and go to the Little River Association. It was almost like, you need to go. Then I get over here and I see all these good old Baptist preachers. And I'm the least of all of them. And for you to call on me to fill this slot, I'm very humbled this evening. When you called on Brother Freddie this evening, I'm not as good with names as I am with faces and sermons and places. I thought I recognized the name, but when the old man got behind the bookboard this evening and I saw his face, I leaned over to my wife and I said, he preached on that cup over there where the Lord went, over there across the Brook Cedron, and he went and prayed 3 times unto the Lord, and he said to his Father, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, thy will be done. I said, he preached on it 17 years ago down in Alabama. Now, I couldn't remember the name, but I remember the face, and now I've got the name. Oh, bless your heart. I was just a boy when he preached it, but it had to be pretty good for me to remember it tonight. Now, you've got another preacher from Arkansas, and I'm a preacher from Alabama, so I don't know how that's going to match this evening. But I'm going to do my best to get out of his way. But what time I am here, I beg an interest in your prayers that maybe some of the thoughts that I might bring would, first off, I could be with the writer over there, with old Brother John, where he says, I must decrease and he must increase. And I would, that I might remember my dear old friend, Brother Beckett, and he would say this to me. He would say, I remember what he told me in 95 when we was at the West Texas Association and they called on me. And I was scared that night as I am this night. And the old man grabbed me by the hand. And he said, no matter what happens, I still love you. My wife didn't tell me that a while ago, but I hope it's the case, you know. Maybe Mike Mitchell won't go back home to Alabama and tell what a mess up I am. I think about what Brother Beckett would say, he that humbleth himself in the sight of God, he be lifted up. Amen. If you would, for a few moments, you young people, there's a lot of young people here tonight on a Friday night, and I know you young people, there's so many places that you could be besides here at this old church house, at this association tonight. And I would that maybe I might be able to draw some thoughts together that would hopefully help you along the way. First and foremost this evening, I would to God that it would be glorifying and lift up His great and holy name. And before I leave here, I hope you know that I believe it's grace and free grace alone if you ever see glory. But in this life, we have some duty and responsibility, because we've been called from nature's darkness to a marvelous light. If you would, for a few moments, I'd like to try to bring a couple of thoughts to you. I read in Psalms where David writes it this way in the second psalm, and that second psalm is a messianic psalm. All 12 verses, I believe it is. I believe I can see Christ in it. But he says here in the first verse, he says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Let's get the classes of folks real quick. And for time's sake, so the Arkansas preacher can close out, I'm not going to go and get a bunch of scriptures to prove who these two groups of people are. And if I preach it wrong, the Arkansas preacher can correct me, okay? We'll leave it on him to fix what I mess up. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? There's two classes of folks there. The heathen is the Gentiles, that's you and I. The people is the Jews, okay? Notice it carefully. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Now we're getting a psalm here about the crucifixion is what we're getting. And I want you to take notice of this vain thing. It says, why do the heathen rage? Those Gentiles. See, on the day of the crucifixion, on that day it was some Roman soldiers that was there, along with the chief priest from the Jewish council that was there also. So we have a mixed mob here. We have Gentiles and Jews brought together. Now, you folks that read your Bible understand that it was the Jews was God's chosen folks all the way through those 39 chapters of the Old Testament, or 39 books. They were His. They were from the seed of Abraham. You remember how it was that even they, those Pharisees, those Jewish intellectuals, they came to the Lord and said, well, we be Jews. Why? Because our father is Abraham. That's who they're going to point to every time. Our father be Abraham. And what did the Lord say? The Lord said, well, before Abraham was, I am. He says to them, He says, your father Abraham, he rejoiced to see what? My day. And saw it. And they said, how is this? You're not yet what? You're not 50 years old. How can this thing be? Okay, they point to Abraham. Now there's some heathens here. The Romans, us Gentiles, we're heathen in this aspect and dogs. They're there also on the day of the crucifixion. And it says the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointing, saying. All right, I want you to take notice of a word here. And I could do a lot of different things with it, but if you'll go over to Acts about the fourth chapter, and I won't turn to it. Maybe I need to for just a real quick time. Acts 4, I want to get where David is preaching here, or Peter's preaching here. Peter's preaching, and he says here, who by the mouth of thy servant David, he's fixing to quote him now. This is 4:25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain things. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ, for a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel. Are you with me? There's your heathen. There's all your Romans. Against Him, with Israel, the people of Israel, were gathered together. You see it now? All right, so there's me a text that'll bring all that together. Let me do this for you. If you're an absoluter, you won't like me. If you're a good old Baptist and believe in predestination, you'll love me. But if you're an absoluter, you won't like me. And there's a difference. I believe God predestinated a people to be conformed to the image of His Son. But I don't believe He predestinated all events in time. Now, I see absoluters that'll take and run to a couple of different scriptures to prove their point. They'll run to this scripture right here and say, see, they'll read this off to you. See, they're doing this. These Romans are little robots, and these Jews are little robots. They're doing all this because God predestinated them to do it. Hey, right here in about two verses, there's a word here that's there three times. If it had only been there one time, it'd have been enough for me. But since the Lord knows we're hard-headed, He gave it to us three times. That word is against. Did you catch it? You go read it. It's there three times. Against His holy child, Jesus. Against His anointed. Well, if they're doing this because God predestinated them to do it, tell me how it's against Him. Do y'all follow that? I just get... Sometimes I preach, I think I'm just... A little amen will help me. I'm like Brother Bowen. Now listen, little amen will help me. If you want to shout, I won't let them turn you out. They won't own my watch. Hey, I'm telling you, we need to get back to old time religion, folks. I'm telling you that straight up. Look here, I'm going to tell you the truth about it. If John the Baptist would have been here tonight, I wonder if you'd have preached him. The way he looked, what he is wearing, what he is eating, and what he is doing, I wonder if you'd have put him in the pulpit. If Elijah showed up, you'd call him an exhibitioner. Because he called fire from heaven. Bless your heart, we need the Holy Ghost. Amen? And I ain't talking about so we can go to glory. We need him because we're going to glory. We need him for some comfort and direction in this life. And I need to feel him as I go back down Interstate 85 fighting Atlanta traffic. I need to know the Lord's with me. Amen? Amen. Bless your heart, children. There's some young people here. You're going to school. And let me tell you what. Let me do this, lest I forget it right now. You young people, there's some children here that's young, like my Audrey. And you young people, y'all will go to school and you'll have a whole mess of friends when you're in elementary school. A whole mess of them. Little folks, they have lots of friends. You ever notice that? All of them get along good. You know what will happen about 7th or 8th grade? Now I may be stepping on some toes. 7th or 8th grade, you know what will happen? Some of those friends will start taking up bad language, bad habits. They'll start drinking. They'll start doing all manner of evil that your mom and daddy told you you can't do. And this book condemns you in doing it. Are you with me? And if the Spirit of God will condemn you in doing it. And you know what you'll have to do? You'll either have to start living, acting like a goat, or you'll have to separate from them. Now I'm preaching plain, but I'm telling you how it is. By the 10th grade, you might have 5 friends left. By the time you graduate high school, you might have 3 left. I'm 33 years old today, and I'll promise you this, I can count on one hand how many real good friends I have outside the old Baptist church. Amen? Where's that verse? You young people put it to memory. This old brother here, he's telling about that old man. Oh, you're going to memorize all the 119th Psalm. Makes me feel bad, don't it, you? Bless your heart. I'm telling you, that'll condemn me in my own heart because I know what Psalm said over there when he says, Thy word have I what hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. 16th chapter in the 15th verse, 15, 16. I don't know where it's at. It don't matter, but the Lord, let me tell you this. You young people want to be popular at school, don't you? You teenagers. You folks that's 13, 14, 15, listen to me. You want to be popular at school. You want to be homecoming queen. You want to be crowned something. Let me tell you this. What's popular with man don't mean a hill of beans in the eyes of God. Amen. You hear that? Listen to me. What is popular with men and what men esteem so high, it don't mean nothing with the Lord. You know what means something with the Lord? How much of this book you've got memorized in your heart and in your mind and put to practice on a daily basis. Are you with me now? That's tough preaching. I didn't come to Georgia to do that. But I see these young people here and you've got more to face than what I had to face, and it was tough. Me and old Chris Deep, he is my best friend through school. He didn't mind me being an old Baptist preacher when I was 16 years old. He'd just go along with me, just go with me. And every once in a while we'd get invited to one of them ungodly parties. And we'd go. We'd go. We wouldn't be there 5 minutes. And I'd be bad uncomfortable. They're doing all manner of things. And I'd look at him and go, you ready? When you are. I seen right quick I couldn't take up with them. Not and try to live by what thus saith the word of God. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? I know this verse is talking about over there, those people imagining a vain thing, but I want to talk to you just for a moment. And I promise I'll get out of the Arkansas preacher's way in just a moment. But let me tell you this, those Jews, and I'll just close it so maybe I'll finally quit. Those Jews, they was imagining a vain thing for a long time. They still are. They still are. They was imagining the vain thing. They had 39, listen, to them were committed the oracles of God. All that time, they had the prophets, they had the law, they had the priesthood, they had it all. They had the Passover supper every year. They had a tabernacle in the wilderness, the temple in the land. We see the cross on every side. I see the Lord through it. And I try to look for him as I'm reading in Numbers. For he says, when Moses wrote, he wrote of me. They were imagining a vain thing. You know what they were imagining? They was expecting
their Messiah to come riding in on a great white horse with a sword in his hand to take vengeance on all their enemies and take Israel and set them up as the head of the nations and set up an earthly kingdom in Jerusalem and him set and reign on it so everybody could see that the Jews were something special. That's what they was imagining, and guess what? It didn't happen. They were imagining the vain thing. They was expecting a natural kingdom to be set up in Jerusalem so that everybody could see that the Jews, we've had it right all this time. It's out of our line that the Messiah, the Savior, will come. And bless your heart, He comes just like the book said He would. He comes a virgin. Behold, a virgin shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call His name Emmanuel. He tells us in Micah just exactly where He's going to be born. He'll be born in Bethlehem Ephratah. And He'll be wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Because there's no room for Him in the inn. I'm glad the angel went and told some shepherds, aren't you? I'm glad that was who the angel went and told. Oh, glory to God in the highest. Today in the city of David is born the Savior, which is Christ. Oh, bless your heart. And they believed. Are you understanding? But the Pharisaical, the leadership, you remember that scripture it says that the leaders of this people do cause them to err? That can't be our Messiah. No way. No way. He was going to come riding on a white horse. See, they had those testimonies over there. Guess what? He's going to come one day taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel according to what Paul writes in Thessalonians. But that's going to be His second coming, not His first. You see it now? They were imagining the vain thing. I got to open it back up because I got to get another scripture. You know how bad they was imagining it? You know how vain it was? How many times you winter's coming? It's August, association season here, and hey, I'm in prime. I love to go. It's the only time of the year I get to go and hear Brother Bowen, get to hear these Arkansas preachers. It's the only time of the year that I get to go and hear somebody besides Jonathan. I mean, I'm down there preaching to myself all the time. I have to say amen to myself most of the time too, but every once in a while somebody might. Let me say this, I enjoy coming to see you. You know, listen, I didn't come over here because you need me. I come over here, I drove through Atlanta traffic this evening with my wife because I need Brother Bill. I need to see my old brother Don Ferris, who back 6 months ago I called him and he gave me a great testimony and I shouted riding down the road and have lived on it for 6 months. I need to come see Brother Don Ferris. You understand? I need to come and fellowship with my brethren over here. All right, now then. With that said, they was imagining the vain thing to the point. Listen, you, winter's coming. Here's your wintertime project. Go through the Gospels and count how many times the Lord tells them exactly about His resurrection. He tells them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it again. As Jonah was in the heart of the... In the belly of the whale, 3 days. So shall the Son of Man be in the earth 3 days. You go count all them up. He was exact about it, wasn't he?
Yes.
Every time, 3 days and three nights. You go count all those up, boy, it'll do you some great study there. Either they did not hear Him or they did not believe Him. Do what, preacher? That's right. Even His own disciples either didn't hear Him or didn't believe Him. Because on the day of the resurrection, you go read over there where those two boys are walking down the Emmaus Road and they're slowful of heart.
Amen.
And it's all past tense. We trusted. We trusted that it was He that would deliver Israel. It was all past tense. If they say we trusted, that means they're not trusting anymore. It's all negative. But you know what they still could do? They could still count. They said... And besides all this, today is the third day. You know what the book tells me that He done? He began with Moses and the prophets and expounded unto them all the scriptures. Oh, if I could have that one on tape. I mean, what greater preacher than the Lord to listen to Him preach His own gospel? Wouldn't you like to be able to, I'd love to drive home tonight. My wife could go to sleep if she wants to, Brother Winfrey. It'd be okay. Might not would if the Lord was preaching. If I had the Lord on tape preaching that sermon. And you know what? When they finally got down there, they said the day's far spent where you come in, where they constrained him to come in. And when he began to break bread, you notice it? Began to break bread. It says their eyes came to him, their eyes was open, and they knew who he was. You know what that teaches me? A great lesson, church. He could be here with us tonight walking up and down the aisles, and you wouldn't know he's here unless he revealed himself. Huh? Huh? He revealed himself, their eyes was open, and he vanished out of their sight. And what did they say? They said, did not our hearts burn within us? How many times in your life have you walked down the lonely path in this world and the waves of this world come in one side after another and it doesn't seem like you're going to get any relief, and then finally a little peace comes and you get to the other side of that trouble and you look back and you go, did not my heart burn within me? I need him tomorrow, don't you? I mean, listen, I love my wife and I don't want her to go nowhere. But I'm not so much worried about losing her, because she does not bring me peace that passeth all understanding. You know who does? The Savior does. Okay. Vain things. Acts chapter 1. Watch this. Listen, they were still believing in this vain thing even after the resurrection. After it appeared, there in the room with them, told Thomas, said, come put your hands right here. Come touch me, Thomas. Even after all that, watch what happens in Acts 1. In the 6th verse, it says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They're still wanting to do it. Guess what? I got news for you. 2,000 years later, they're still imagining a vain thing. That's right, they are. They were right then. Now then, with that said, and there's so many other things I could go. I could talk to you about how vain it was for them to put that rock over the tomb and tell them to get them a watch. You know, get them a watch. You remember how that deal went, don't you? After he left and they seen that he was gone, they said, well, while we were asleep, his disciples came and stole him away. If you can't shoot two holes in that real quick, something's wrong with you. One, if you're asleep, how do you know what happened? And number two, if you were asleep, why ain't Rome putting you to death? Because it's a death penalty to go to sleep on the watch. Guess what they've done? They paid them all the way off, all the way up to Pilate. They paid them off. It says that that's still believed amongst those folks to this day. Let me tell you this today, young people. You're going to public education that the people in this room are paying for. It's called tax dollars. And you know what they're going to teach you down there at that schoolhouse? Listen to me. They're going to teach you a vain thing. Amen. They're going to teach you that it took millions of years for all this to take place. That there were some amoebas that come together over yonder billions of years ago and we created a frog. And then finally over billions of years, the frog come into a little monkey or ape. And then billions of years later, we finally get to the prince, the man. So here we are. My daughter, she's 6. You know what she's watching the other day on TV? She's watching that movie, that child movie, about where the frog is kissed by the princess and he turns into a prince instantaneously. We call that a fairy tale. You know the difference in a fairy tale and science? Fairy tale takes place quickly, science over billions of years. They will teach you vain things down there at that schoolhouse. Let me tell you what you better do. I'm going to be with that old brother that asked his son when he sent him off to college. He gave him a Bible and said, read it. I'm telling you today, you better start reading this thing. You better read it and put it to memory, put it to your heart, so you can fight the wiles of the devil. Because I promise you this, drugs, alcohol. Listen, you see folks that, hey, it's okay for a man and woman just to shack up and live together. That's okay in our society. Let me tell you what, it's not okay. Amen. It's been a while since I was in school, but back then they called it cohabitation. And they said that a cohabitation relationship where a man and woman are living in sin, let me call it what it is, living in sin, that once they do get married, that 85% of them will end up in divorce. I'm not shocked, are you? It's not the way that God set it up. I'm speaking plain to you young people tonight, but your friends are going to do that. They're going to do it, and they're going to make out like it's okay. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to scourge you because you don't do it. That's right. That's what they'll do. They'll say, well, you can just go live with her. It'll be all right. No, you can't. It won't be all right. There's a God in heaven. And let me promise you this, whatever you do, and I'm not trying to scare nobody. I'm just preaching plain. Whatever you do on Friday and Saturday night and mom and daddy don't see it, guess what? God does. I used to hear folks say, if the Lord was coming to visit you at your house when you get home, wouldn't you need to be there cleaning it up? Let me tell you what, I hope He was there visiting me before I left. Amen? I believe in a God that's everywhere present, nowhere absent. Oh, bless your heart. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Folks, they were imagining a vain thing. They still are. There's a world out here. I've got a brother whom I love. I tell this in humbleness, but I've got a brother whom I love. I remember sitting in some places where they didn't preach the truth when we were children. And he knew the truth. It still does, I think. We'd sit there as little boys on that pew, and that man start in on all the ranting and raving about come down here and get saved and all that. And he'd look at me and go, Johnny's lying to him again. And I'd hit him and say, be quiet, we're in their place. I've got sad news to report that 3 years ago I had to exclude my own brother from the Old Line Baptist Church because he went and denied the faith and took up with those folks. You understand? It broke my heart. It broke my heart to do that. My prayer is that the God in heaven will work him over. You understand? Let me tell you this, his wife posted something on Facebook last week that just killed me. They had a revival meeting, and she posted on Facebook, and I ain't on it, my wife is, and she tells me this, and she shouldn't because it makes me mad. She says, the sister-in-law I have says on Facebook last week after one of the night's revival, she says, well, praise God, we saved two out of hell tonight. They are imagining a vain thing. You understand that? Listen, I'll do good to save you out of a ditch in this life. Much less save you for glory. You want me to tell you where you're saved from glory? When that man Christ Jesus, who was verily man and verily God, God manifest in the flesh, when he was extended between heaven and earth for those 6 hours, and for the first three, man done all they could do to him. They spat on him. They mocked him. They put a reed in his hand, bowed down, said, Hail, King of the Jews. They did all they could. They wagged their head. They said of him, said, Others he could save, but himself he cannot. They did all they could. But let me promise you this. With blood, sweat, and human spittle all over that man, there was something took place with that thief that was on his right, wasn't there? Had to have been. I believe John 5:25 come in play. I believe that even as the Son of God was hanging on that cross, that the man to his right heard the voice of the Son of God. And in the when you hear, you shall live. I believe he lived, don't you? Because watch what he says. He says, Lord. He don't look much like a Lord, does he? Not at that moment. Lord, when you come in your kingdom, remember me. Oh, I love our Master's answer, don't you?
Yes.
Oh, I love His answer. I'm glad He didn't say, well, go find old denying Peter and get him up here. I'm glad He didn't say, get John up here so we can baptize you. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Let me tell you this, that when the 6th hour of the day came and the sun refused to shine and the earth did quake and the rocks did rent, at that very moment when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When his soul was made an offering for sin, it was there that God saw the atoning blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When he, the Lamb, he, the High Priest, took that blood and offered it to God without spot and without blemish one time. One time. And now he's sat down at the majesty's right hand. Bless your heart. There's where you are saved. Right then and there. Listen, I need saving tonight. I got to get back home. I need saving tomorrow. Timely. But you save one time, and if that man shed his blood for you, bless your heart, you can't get out of it. You understand that? You're on your way to glory without the loss of one. Anybody that don't believe that imagines a vain thing. Lord bless you.